Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 1, Text 1, Translation. By His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Janmadasya Yatondayad Itaratas Chardhesh Mabignasvarat Tene Brahma Hridaya Adikavaye Mohyanti Yatsuryaha Tejo Vari Mridang Yatha Vinimayo Yatrat Trisargo Mrsha Dhamna Svena Sadani Rasta Kuhakam Satyam Parang Dhinahi.
Just translation.
Today is the glorious appearance of the all-glorious Srimati Radharani, celebration of that appearance, who is the particular object of worship for Gaurya Vaishnavas. What distinguishes Gaurya Vaishnavas from other Vaishnavas? Because they recognize the paramount position of Srimati Radharani. Other Vaishnavas, they put more stress on Krishna or Narayana. Some of them are bewildered by the manifestation of Radharani and think that somehow this isn't quite fitting for the Supreme Lord to have her as his consort. Others accept her as being his consort, but consider her to be a manifestation of Lakshmi. So they think that she's something like Sita or Rukmini, an expansion. They consider her in this way, an expansion of Lakshmi Devi. And even others, they recognize that Krishna is the lover of Radha. But they cannot appreciate in the way that the Gauriyas appreciate. This verse, which we've just read, is the first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, the topmost scripture, which describes Krishna's topmost position. This verse establishes the greatness of Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted the Srimad Bhagavatam as the spotless evidence, scriptural evidence. Srimad Bhagavatam Pramanam Amalam. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also accepted Ramya Kachit Upasana Vrajavadhu Vargena Yakalpita, the mode of worship of Krishna as conceived by the gopis of Vrindavan is superlative of the gopis. So Srimad Bhagavatam is the spotless pramana or evidence. It is the topmost Vedic evidence. It explains the superlative position of Krishna. Krishna's tu Bhagavan Swayam. Krishna is the original form of the personality of Godhead. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, the 10th canto is considered best because it describes the pastimes of Krishna, the original form of the personality of Godhead. Within that, the section dealing with the pastimes of Krishna in Vrindavan, that is considered the best, the most charming, the most sweet. Of all Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan, those with the young gopis, Gopi Lila, that is the sweetest and the most charming. And among all the gopis, there is Rasika Shiromani, the one who is the topmost in pleasing Krishna. I don't think there's any translation for Rasika. Maybe you know what the word means. Maybe something like that. Prabhupada translates as expert in relishing mellows. But in the case of Radharani, as Rasika, she's not just relishing the mellows. She's completely involved in generating them. So Krishna is worshipped. Vyasadeva is worshipping him by this verse of Bhagavata. And by all the verses of Bhagavata. All the Vedic scriptures glorifying Krishna. The great demigods are glorifying Krishna. Young Brahma, Varunendra, Rudra, Maruta, Stunvanti, Divyai, Stavai, with transcendental hymns. Brahma, Narad, the Maruts, Rudradev, Lord Shiva, the Vishvedevs, they all glorify Krishna. They're all praising Krishna, and Krishna worships Radharani. We can just somehow try to imagine what is the greatness of Radharani. It's very, very difficult to understand how great is Krishna. It's practically beyond our ability to even begin to imagine how great is Krishna. But even Krishna himself cannot even begin to understand how great is Radha. So even certain Vaishnavas, they may find this to be heretical. It is certainly the most confidential message. It's so confidential that even in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it's hidden that Krishna, who is all-powerful, he also has his power, his shakti. His energy is not simply an impersonal force, but his power is Srimati Radharani. So she is the powerful of the, she is the power of the powerful. So without Radha, Krishna is nothing. Of course, there's no question of Krishna not being powerful. But Vaishnava theology is superlative in that it recognizes the Lord and his energies. Radharani is the original energy. She is non-different from Krishna. Shakti, Shaktiman, Abheda. The energy and the energetic are non-different. They appear to be different, but they are the same absolute truth. The absolute truth is complete, purana. So that completeness means that the all-powerful is present with his power. That is complete.
All-powerful is present?
The all-powerful and the power together, they make the complete. As Krishnadas Kaviraj Raj Goswami has given an example, that Krishna Purna Shakti Rata Purna Shakti Mandvi Vastupe Nahe Shastra Paraman, that Krishna is the, or Radha is the complete Shakti, energy, and Krishna is the complete energetic, powerful. And there is no intrinsic or fundamental difference between them. Mrigamadda, Mrigamadda, Taraganda, Joiche Avichet, Agne Jalate, Joiche Kabu Nahibed. He gives examples that the musk and its scent, they are inseparable. Fire and its heat, they are inseparable. Musk always has its very strong scent. And that particular scent is not possible without there being musk. Similarly, wherever there is fire, there must be heat. And according to Vedic understanding, wherever there is heat, there must be fire. You may say, well, we generate heat from electricity, but that's also electricity in another form.
Fire.
Sorry, fire in another form. Yeah. Our bodies are warm. There's heat. That's because there's fire within the body in subtle form. So just as musk and its scent, fire and heat are inseparable, so are Krishna and Radha. Please everyone turn off their cell phones. Radha Krishna Aiche Shada Ekoi Sharup Lila Rosh Ashadite Dhare Dui Rup. So in the same way, Radha and Krishna are one, but for the sake of enjoying pastimes, they expand as two. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has recorded in his one writing, Prem Samput, how Srimati Radharani herself explains this. That just like this, she explains that just as there is a plant growing up, then from the one root expands two branches, but it's the same plant. So like that, Krishna and Radha are inseparable and the same. So Radha is inseparable from Krishna, and Krishna feels himself incomplete without her. Ultimately, only she can give pleasure to Krishna. Everyone or every devotee tries to act in a way that is pleasing to Krishna. But Krishna cannot be pleased without Radha. That's why in some ways we may accept those like Meera, as we may accept in some ways, great devotee in some way. But actually we don't like to, we're not very much attracted by that at all. Because she is always praying, "Oh Giridhari, come to me, I will be with you." But we just sung Bhaktivinoda Thakur's song that he wants to bring Radha and Krishna together, not me and Krishna. Taha milane ananda kori. My pleasure is in bringing them together. Taha bijoge dukete more. And in their separation, I die in unhappiness. So this is real service to Krishna, not that I shall enjoy with Krishna. But knowing that Krishna can only be happy with Radha, we try to assist in bringing Radha and Krishna together. Because whatever other arrangements may be made for Krishna's happiness, he cannot be happy without Radha. Radha shaha kriya rosh bridhi karan ar shab gopi gon rasho pokaran. This, the whole Ras Leela is danced with hundreds and thousands of gopis. All the pastimes of Krishna in Vrindavan are performed with so many gopis. But Radharani is the center, and Krishna cannot be satisfied with her without her. As she proved by leaving Ras Leela, Krishna still had so many other gopis, but he couldn't be happy without her. Krishna Balabha Radha Krishna Prana Dhan Taha Binu Shuka Hetu Nohe Gopi Gan. Krishna Balabha Radharani is the, she particularly is known as the lover of Krishna. She is the treasure of the life of Krishna. And the gopis who are so dear to Krishna, but without her, they cannot give him happiness. So Krishna, Radharani is so dear to Krishna. In all ways she enchants Krishna. Hari Manna Vimohini. She is the one who completely bewilders the mind. She takes away the mind of Hari, who takes away the mind of everyone else. She has all the qualities which totally enchants Krishna. Krishna is so beautiful. Kandarpa koti kamaniya vishesha shobham. His beauty defeats that of millions of cupids. But his beauty is eclipsed by the beauty of Srimati Radharani. There is some attempts have been made by poets to describe the beauty of Srimati Radharani. But all the metaphors, similes and adjectives in all the languages of the world remain completely insufficient to begin to describe the beauty of Srimati Radharani. That Krishna himself is fully charmed and maddened by the beauty of Srimati Radharani. But not only by her beauty does she attract Krishna. By all her totally pleasing, transcendental feminine qualities, she attracts him. By her singing, her dancing, by her cooking, she receives the benediction from Durvasa Muni that whatever she cooked would be extraordinarily palatable and very health-giving also. So Mother Yashoda would call her daily to to cook for Krishna so that my Krishna can grow up to be a very healthy boy. She cooks so many different vegetable preparations for Krishna. Krishna, by various excuses, he spends throughout the day and night, he's meeting on and off with Radha and the gopis. At breakfast time, she's cooking for him. All the gopis come along also. At the midday, Radharani goes to the forest to worship Suryadev, the sun god. Midday is the time for worshipping Suryadev. So she worshipped him, that you please, praying to him, please give me the association of Krishna. And Krishna becomes the pujari in the temple of Suryadev. So in this way she again gets his association. At night, again, Krishna will be sleeping very nicely after a hard day, long day in the forest. So thinks Mother Yashoda. She goes to sleep herself very peacefully, thinking, oh, my Krishna's sleeping so peacefully. So peacefully because he's not there. He's out in the forest again. He loves Vrindavan forest, especially at night, because all the gopis come to him. In the day he dances in Vrindavan forest with the cowherd boys, and at night with the cowherd girls. So in this way, Radharani, she charms Krishna. In this way, in millions of ways, she totally charms all his senses and all his consciousness. Now this verse, the first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, describes that Krishna is the supreme controller. That is the central tenet of Vaishnava philosophy. Krishna is the supreme controller. He is the controller even of the great demigods. He is even superior, in one sense, to Lord Narayana. Ishvara Parama Krishna Satyadananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarva Karana Karanam. Krishna is the supreme controller. His transcendental form is eternal, blissful, and full of knowledge. He is the origin of everything, and there is no origin of him. He is Govinda, the giver of pleasure to the cows, the land, and the senses, and the ultimate cause of all causes, in other words, of everything. So therefore, Krishna is known, for instance, as Jagannath, Lord of the universe. Vishwanath, that name is usually connected with Lord Shiva, but ultimately it belongs to Lord Vishnu. It means the same thing as Jagannath. And of course, he's also known as Vaikunthanath, the Lord of the spiritual world. Golokanath, Golok, the topmost section of the spiritual world. Dwarkanath, Mathuranath, and even he's known as Vrindavannath, the Lord in Vrindavan. But in Vrindavan itself, he's not known as Vrindavannath. They know someone else. There's another word. Vrindavaneshwari. Krishna is the supreme controller of everything. But in Vrindavan, he is controlled by Radharani, who is therefore known as the queen of Vrindavan, Vrindavaneshwari. You may say, well, that's not in Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam clearly establishes Krishna's supremacy. Well, it certainly does. But not everything is spoken directly. Paroksha vada rishayaha paroksham cham mama priya. This Lord Krishna tells Uddhava that the rishis, those who can see the Vedic mantras, they don't always express everything very directly, sometimes indirectly. And Krishna says that I also like that. So, Srimad Bhagavatam describes Krishna as supreme and definitely speaks of the Vraja Gopis. But the secret, the essence, is only available to those very expert relishers of the Srimad Bhagavatam. This first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam establishes the supremacy of Krishna. He is the subject matter of Srimad Bhagavatam. The second verse of Srimad Bhagavatam tells us that this is the topmost Vedic literature, the essence of all Vedic knowledge, in which all subsidiary or superfluous subject matters have been rejected. The third verse of Bhagavatam tells us that this is, the topmost Vedic literature, in another way by saying that it's the ripened fruit of the tree of Vedic knowledge. And Vyasadeva exhorts us to relish the taste of this sweet fruit. That, alright, this is philosophy, this is Vedyam Vastavam, Atra Vastu, this is the essence of all, this is the actual substance of the Vedas. So that's true. But this is not just some philosophy, but this is to be relished. Who can relish that? Those who are rasi, those who are qualified to do so. So, Bhagavatam is a book of tattva gyan, spiritual knowledge, and ultimately rasa gyan, the knowledge of rasa. And Vyasadeva exhorts us, pibata bhagavatam, drink this muhuraho rasika bhuvipa. Those who are expert in relishing this nectar, they should go on relishing it. So what is that bhagavat ras? Well, there are so many flavors. There's the flavor of the sweetness of Vamanadev cheating Bali Maharaj. There's the sweetness of Nrsimhadev protecting Prahlad. There's the sweetness of Rama's love for Sita. There's the sweetness of Krishna's dealings with Rukmini. But ultimate sweetness, Madhurja Bhagavatasa, the essence of Krishna's being God, is the sweetness of his dealings with the gopis of Vrindavan. So some may protest, well, it's in his first verse of Bhagavatam, we don't find any such thing. This is giving the subject of Bhagavatam. We don't find even the name of Radharani in Bhagavatam. You don't find. But those who are rasika, those who are expert in relishing the mellows, they have found. They have found what is the actual nectar of Srimad Bhagavatam. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he found. He is Radha and Krishna. Krishna come to know what it's like to be Radha. And through his great devotees, he's revealed what is the actual message of Bhagavatam. Anaya radhito nunam Bhagavan Haririshvara. In Bhagavatam, it refers to one gopi. She who worships Bhagavan Hari, Krishna, the Supreme Controller, best. This indicates Srimati Radharani. Anaya radhita. So sometimes it's asked, well, why didn't Shukadev say the name of Radha directly? Well, different reasons have been suggested for that, and all are possible, because generally everything the Lord and his devotees do serves several purposes, all at once. So, out of fear of, if he directly said the name, then being stunned in the ecstasy of remembering Radha, then the time for complete, the 7 days time limit for completing the Bhagavatam, speaking to Parikshit Maharaj, that wouldn't be possible. He was working on a time limit, so he had to control his ecstasy. Another reason is that he spoke to Parikshit in the presence of so many persons who were, for whom Bhagavat, that Krishna is supreme, that in itself was a great revelation. And they weren't ready to understand or accept this very secret information of Krishna being subordinate to Radha. Not only that, but because the intimate pastimes of Radha and Krishna, to those who are not fully pure, that appears to be impure. So to protect the hearers, both at that time and in future, from making offenses, the subject matter was kept secretly. It's secret for those who don't know the secret. And that has been revealed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his followers. But those who are fortunate, they will accept it. Srila Jiva Goswami has given an extraordinary commentary on this, it's commentary on this first verse of Bhagavatam. That if the words are understood in a different way, then we get a completely different translation of this first verse of Bhagavatam. That we find that this is a description of Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan. Well, where is it? We don't see Janmadyasya Yataha Andraya Itarati. Where is Radha? Where is Vrindavan? We don't find in this verse if we look at the words. We don't see, but Jiva Goswami sees. He has explained how he's given a word by word analysis that Yataha Anvayat means Lord Krishna, who is attached to Srimati Radharani, who is his internal transcendental pleasure potency. There's some to give that meaning, he's given some Sanskrit grammatical analysis. It's definitely not the original and or it's not the apparent meaning or the, but it's hidden within the text. And here itarataha, which means something separate or something else, that here means his eternal companion, Srimati Radharani.
What's the last one?
Last one.
Last verse.
Itarataha means something other than. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's what it means in either directly or indirectly. But here, Jiva Goswami says this means Radharani. Something else. So we may say, well, what then? Janmadyasa yataha. This clearly means that Janma Adi, Asayata, the manifestation of the cosmos, and it comes from him. But here Jiva Goswami explains it completely differently, saying here the Adi, me, here Janma Adi means Janma, etc. But he says, no, here Adi means Adi Ras, Madhur Ras. So he says that this Madhurya Rasa is manifested. Janma here means manifestation. And in this way he goes on to explain how this has manifest, these pastimes are manifest through Vyasadeva. It's been, who is Adi Kavi here? Adi Kavi here means Vyasadeva, the Kavi who is now beginning, the poet who is beginning to describe their pastimes. So in this way, he explains all of these words in a completely different context. Tejo vari mridang yata vinimayo yatra trisargo mrisha. This means that this cosmic manifestation, trisarga, which means that which is created, maintained, and destroyed, which is composed of earth, water, fire, etc. It appears to be real, but Jiva Goswami has explained it completely differently, saying that Trisarga here means the manifestation of Krishna's pastimes or his energies. This Trisarga means Sri, Bhu, and Nila, the three potency forms of the Lord, of opulence, the earth, and Nila, Lila Shakti. They're all manifest from Radha. Or it can mean the three manifestations of Dwarka, Mathura, Vrindavan. And he says that the elements are described, that means Vinimaya, they change their qualities due to the pastimes of Krishna. Just like the rocks, which are hard stone, they melt upon hearing Krishna's flute. Or the Yamuna, which is liquid, becomes stunned in ecstasy and stops flowing, becomes like hard rock by hearing Krishna's flute. So, in this way, Jiva Goswami has shown that actually from the very beginning, the Srimad Bhagavatam only describes the glorious pastimes of Radha and Krishna. Nirasta Kuhakam means free from illusion, means that Radha and Krishna, they remain free from the interference of Radharani's rival gopis. Oh, that also, that Trisarga can also mean three classes of gopis. Those who are supporters of Radharani, those who are her apparent rivals, and those who are somewhere in between. So, Srimad Bhagavatam has been revealed as actually the essence of that is the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. And the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they particularly want to serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is the combined form of Radha and Krishna. Once some discussion came up, so the question came up to Prabhupada, who is greater, Radha or Krishna? Sorry, who is greater, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or Krishna? Krishna is supreme, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving Krishna, so he must be more. So Prabhupada gave the answer, who is superior, Krishna or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? The answer is Radha. Because Radha is so glorious that Krishna, who is the most glorious, he takes another form just to know what it is like to be Radha. So the devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they are the intimate devotees, they are all servants of Radha in Krishna Lila. They are the intimate servants of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they are all gopi assistants of Radha in Krishna Lila. And they have, through their transcendental vision, illuminated the pastimes of Radha and Krishna and given us many wonderful literatures. The one of the most famous and expressing the highest level of devotion to Radharani is the Vilap Kusumanjali of Srila Raghunath Das Goswami. Vilap Kusumanjali. Vilap means lamentation, and kusum means a kind of lotus flower, and anjali means offering. So it's an offering of lotuses of transcendentally blissful lamentation. Just praying out, calling most desperately for the opportunity to serve Radha. So just read two of those prayers, so that from our very long distance, with great humility, we can attempt to appreciate what is actual bhakti. Raghunath Das Goswami prays to Srimati Radharani, Tavaivasmi, Tavaivasmi, Najivami Tvaivina, Iti Vigyaya Devi Tvam, Nayamam Charanantikam. He says, I am yours, I am yours. I cannot live without you. Knowing this, O Devi, Goddess, bring me to your bring me to your lotus feet. He also prays. It's a very favorite verse of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Asha, Asha Baraya Amrita Sindhum Aye Katanchit Kalo Mayati Gamita Kila Sampratam Hi Twan Chit Kripang Mayi Vidhasyasi Naiva Kingme Pranaiva Rajena Cha Varuru Vakarinapi. She says that Raghunath Das Goswami says, He Varuru, that oh you of beautiful legs.
Beautiful?
Legs, thighs.
Oh.
Now I am very much desiring to enter the that desire for it, that very strong desire for entering the ocean of nectar. I'm waiting with great difficulty such a long time for entering that, the nectar of your service. I'm becoming impatient. If you don't give your mercy to me and allow me to perform that service, then my life seems completely useless to me. Even Vrindavan seems useless to me. Even I have no need of Vrindavan, no need of Krishna. So it's an extreme statement. Of course, the only desire to serve Radha is because is to connect her to Krishna. But in the madness of ecstasy, he says, if you don't give me your mercy, if you don't allow me to serve you, then everything seems completely useless to me. So from a platform of struggling to control the mind and senses, just trying to understand a little bit about who Krishna is, trying to chant the holy names with some taste and attention, we can worship with great awe and reverence the tips of the toes of the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani and those who are actually engaged in that worship. So he won't say more now, there'll be an initiation ceremony.
You won't?
I won't say more now. If there's anyone qualified to ask questions about this, I'm not sure if I'm qualified to answer. This afternoon we'll again glorify Srimati Radharani through the extraordinary transcendental vision of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Transcendental vision of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And so now on this auspicious day, the eighth day of the bright fortnight in the month of Bhadra, the appearance day of Srimati Radharani, we'll take advantage of the great auspiciousness of this day by conducting an initiation ceremony into the worship of Radha and Krishna. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.